Welcome, members and guests, to the March 6th program of the City Club of Eugene, which asked the question, is this the end of debate programs in our public schools? Thank you for joining us. I'm Marlene Nesri, City Club President. Our sponsors today are Pacific University, Friends and Neighbors Realtors, Realty, Low Key, No Pressure Real Estate Sales and Consulting, and PacInfo Internet Solutions. Special thanks go to KPFF Consulting Engineers for supplying our office space and to KLCC Radio for airing these programs at 6:30 on Monday nights and for archiving the podcasts on their site. Thanks as well to the Human Resources Department at the University of Oregon for hosting the teachers who are participating in the course about Lane County's economy and employment opportunities that City Club is sponsoring with the Lane Workforce Partnership and the Lane Educational Service District. We're pleased to welcome our newest members, William Lewis and Stephanie Harger. A quick reminder that we host nearly 50 original nonpartisan programs every year. If you believe with us that civic engagement is the lifeblood of democracy, please do join us. We welcome donors, sponsors, members, volunteers, and students, anyone who has a stake in community life. We regret to inform you that retired Justice Sandra Day O'Connor will not be able to join us in person for our Special Events Fund kickoff this spring. We're working on a new celebration of civic education, and we'll let you know the details as plans develop. Meanwhile, today's program explores one vital training ground for civic education and asks the question, is this the end of debate programs in our public schools? Program coordinator Lisa Arkin will introduce our speakers.
Thank you, Marlene, and welcome everyone today to City Club. Our first speaker to our fabulous program today on high school debate is Matt Busey, who is a senior. I'll call each of you and then I'll ask you all to step forward, okay? Actually, why don't you come on up to the table? Go ahead, all of you, come on up and I'll introduce you. So as they're getting seated, we have four speakers today. Our first one is Matt Busey, raise your hand, senior at North Eugene High School. Matt is an accomplished debater who has previously qualified to compete in Oregon State Speech and Debate Tournament. Our second speaker is Liliana Hernandez, raise your hand, an eighth grader at Hamlin Middle School in Springfield. Liliana began debating this year, and 2 weeks ago, she and her partner won first place in the Middle School Division of Public Forum Debate at the University of Oregon Debate Tournament. Our third speaker is Henry Leininger. Raise your hand. Freshman at South Eugene High School. 2 weeks ago, Henry and his partner won first place in the Senior Division of Policy Debate at the University of Oregon Debate Tournament. And last, our fourth speaker is Trond Jacobson, who is filling in today for Steve Clemens, who was unable to join us due to illness. Trond was a debater for South Eugene High School in the 1980s, and he went on to debate for the University of Oregon, then earned a PhD in information science at the University of Michigan. 2 years ago, Trond took over as the director of the forensic program at the University of Oregon. Our first questioner will be Betsy Boyd, University of Oregon Associated Vice President, and she debated for North Eugene High School in the day and was the winner of numerous debate awards. I hope you enjoy today's program.
Hello, everyone. I'm Matt Busey. I'm a senior at North Eugene High School, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to present to you all, the members of the Eugene City Club, about the importance of high school debate and its unfortunate disappearance from three of the four 4J public high schools. Eugene high schools have had a rich history with debate, and how can they not in a city that produced such great debaters as Wayne Morse? The politically engaged and free-thinking culture of Eugene had been the perfect environment for high school debate. Eugene students had been involved in advocating for the African American Civil Rights Movement, protesting the Vietnam War, and one South Eugene student in the 1950s even wrote a letter to Senator Joseph McCarthy criticizing McCarthyism. Plus, Eugene's particular location in Western Oregon meant that Eugene debate teams could travel to tournaments in both Northern and Southern Oregon with relative ease. For these reasons and more, speech and debate flourished in 4J high schools. Students were state champions, they fared well in the national tournament, and some were even international debaters, as was the case with four debaters from North Eugene who went to Cuba in 2000 to participate in a Goodwill debate tournament. Speech and debate had a long golden age in Eugene. However, looking at today's high schools, it's clear that these programs are on the decline. Churchill High School hasn't participated in a tournament since my ninth grade year, when they sent one student to state qualifiers. Sheldon High School had a small team my freshman and sophomore years, but I haven't seen them at a tournament since. Even the North Eugene debate program has shrunk to the point where there is only one competitive debater left on the team, me. South Eugene High School has been the only 4J high school that has managed to maintain a relatively large competitive debate team. And this decline of debate isn't due to any cultural changes. Eugene students are still as political and open-minded as they were in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, if not more so. Plus, Eugene is located in the same place as it was a few decades ago. The change that brought about the virtual end to high school speech and debate programs in Eugene wasn't any shift in the local environment, but rather an elimination of funding. Eugene 4J is one of the 10 largest school districts in Oregon, and of these school districts, it is the only one to offer no debate funding. While I and the other panelists know that the school district has a lot on its plate and had to make budget cuts, we are here today to highlight the adverse effects that an absence of debate funding has had on the local high schools and why such funding is important. I've experienced the consequences of trying to run a debate program with no funding firsthand. I've participated in speech and debate since I was a freshman, and my team started out with few resources. We had no funding, little administrative support, no debate class, and primarily relied on a volunteer coach. The few resources that my team started with dwindled year after year, culminating in my status as the only debater that North has. My junior year was when I started having to attend tournaments by myself, since my volunteer coach was studying abroad in Jordan. That year, I was the captain of the debate team, the de facto coach, and the only regular competitor. And while that looks great on a college application, in reality, it wasn't the most fun experience. In February, I attended the first tournament of the school year. To put that in perspective, back when I had a team, which was really only freshmen in the beginning of sophomore year, we were able to start our competitive season in September. While my coach was back from Jordan, he's on the U of O debate team, and thus he had to spend time helping run the tournament and judge, so I basically attended that tournament by myself as well. Overall, I've gone to three tournaments alone, and after I attend the district tournament this April and hopefully the state championships, I will have been a solo act at five tournaments. However, in many ways I'm lucky, because I've at least been able to continue the existence of speech and debate at my school, whereas those at Churchill and Sheldon lost their programs entirely. I've seen the consequences of the absence of debate funding in Eugene at the district tournament, aka state qualifiers, as well. Our debate district encompasses any school in the Eugene-Springfield area, public or private, with a debate program, as well as Syosla High School. Last year, about half of the events offered didn't hold any rounds because there were two or less people entered, so those entered automatically qualified for states. I've automatically qualified in at least one event each district tournament since my sophomore year, since there are always so few participants. If this decline in debate continues unchecked, this year's district tournament could see a disproportionately high amount of private schools kids going to states, as opposed to any kids from the Eugene 4J high schools. Speech and debate is an obviously important activity for students, which I'm sure the Eugene City Club understands. The vigorous clash of ideas is essential to the search for truth, which is what goes on in this club every week. But before I introduce the next speaker, I wanted to share an anecdote that I feel really reflects why speech and debate funding is necessary. When I entered high school, I was terrified of public speaking. I knew that this fear would prove to be a major obstacle in my academic, social, and professional life, and thus I joined speech and debate ninth grade year to overcome it. I remember giving my very first speech in practice. It was impromptu, and I was tremulous and nervous the entire time. But from that starting point, I kept practicing and practicing debating and speaking, impromptu or otherwise, until I finally rid myself of my fear. My fear of public speaking was a manifestation of my low self-esteem, and speech and debate helped me get rid of both. The confidence debate instilled in me motivated me to run for National Honor Society president in ASB, to be more outgoing and join new clubs and sports, and it gave me the ability to do things like present to the Eugene City Club with only low levels of fear. And with the future of debate in 4J high schools looking grim, it not only saddens me that the future youth of Eugene will experience a disconnect from their debate-rich history, but that other kids like me, who just need a little push to branch out and become more confident, won't have the ability to experience the self-growth that occurs after joining a speech and debate team. Next up, here to speak about her experience with debate at Hamlin Middle School is Liliana Hernandez.
My name is Liliana Hernandez, and I am an eighth grader at Hamlin Middle School, and I am also part of the Hamlin debate team, which was all made possible by my amazing coach, Tom Leininger, and him and his son have been through tireless efforts to actually be able to start a club at Hamlin, which we weren't so lucky to have in past years. He has provided us with his great teaching skills, and he actually gathered some experienced high school debaters to come and volunteer and help us grow as more successful debaters. So I'd like to thank him for that. And being in middle school, it's hard for me to think of transitioning to high school in just a couple months. It's really terrifying. It's a whole new system. It's a huge campus, and there's a lot more difficult tests. But if we were to have a debate club, there would be something familiar for me to actually go there with some kind of confidence and know that I can actually do something. Because being in debate now and if I were to have a debate club in high school, it would be kind of familiar for me and wouldn't put so much stress on the whole I'm becoming more independent and more freedom. Because in high school, that's where you learn more about life after school. And debate is challenging and engaging. And if you put all that freedom and all that energy to good use, which hopefully it's debate, then that can give you motivation to have a more successful career. And we learn about things that happen worldwide, like that give us a wider perspective of the world in general. That the world's not just rainbows and cotton candy. Like we learn about subjects like UN peacekeepers, economic globalization, war on terror, all these things. They give us a wider perspective on everything, and it kind of builds our maturity. And knowing that people actually deal with this on a daily basis, people that are older than us and have more experience in life, that kind of motivates us to become those people. And what we learn now will have a big impact on the economy, because we're making the next generation of doctors and lawyers and police officers. And debate, the skills that debate offers is a factor in boosting our economy, because we're basically the future. And I really would love to participate in debate, but knowing that I might not be able to, that's devastating. Because, like I said, high school gives you more freedom. You're separating from your parents. You're doing more stupid, childish things. But you kind of learn from those things. And for me, I joined debate because I really want to be a lawyer. And I've heard about people getting scholarships to prestigious schools and Ivy League schools by participating in debate. And that's what I want to do. And if I don't have debate in high school, I can't achieve that. And debate offers you so many skills. Like, you can enter a room, argue a side so strongly that you're positive you won, and then you can, a while later, go back into that room and argue the opposing side and then contradict everything you said. It's pretty good. You also get really good communication skills, and you use crazy hand gestures, and you're always flying everywhere. It builds your confidence, like last speaker said. It really does build your confidence, because I would never have thought, like 5 months ago, that I would be speaking in front of a bunch of people, and important people. And this is really, these things that debate teaches me are stepping stones towards my career, the way I look at things when I'm in high school, when I become more mature and actually take action in more beneficial stuff that will actually make me become a lawyer, because that's, college is one of the most things I'm passionate about. I have a whole notebook about college, and it's I'm not passionate about any other thing except how much I hate ground beef, but that's a different story. So having debate in high school would really help me a lot, and other people too. I've noticed that so many kids in the Hamlet Debate Club and schools everywhere that are in debate have subconsciously developed so many skills, and they don't know it, but it really does help. So to wrap up, I'd like to thank the Springfield Rotary Club for their last donation and for supporting us and helping us know that we have the leaders of Springfield supporting us, and for being given this opportunity to possibly turn this around, that we could actually have a high school debate. Thank you.
All right, so hello, my name is Henry Leininger. I'm a freshman at South Eugene High School here in Eugene, and just I'd like to start out by saying thank you to all of you for inviting me here to speak with you about the unfortunate state of Oregon debate, and I think I'm speaking on behalf of everyone else in the panel that they're very grateful for you all inviting us here. So 1/4 of Oregon high school students, and keep in mind this is a total of over 40,000 students, attend schools where 60% or more of the students are on the free and reduced lunch rate. Now, in the tournament that I'm attending this weekend, of the 153 debate entries, just 2 of them are from students that attended these schools. So this massive underrepresentation will be the focus of my presentation. In my presentation, I'll argue that every student, irrespective of his or her family's socioeconomic status, should have the opportunity to participate in this great and educational activity. So just to start out with a couple of caveats, first, I'm not trying to criticize anybody involved in Oregon debate. You know, nobody is purposefully trying to exclude low-income students from participating in debate. It's what we call de facto segregation rather than de jure segregation. It's a matter of fact rather than a matter of rule. And second, this free and reduced lunch rate is not necessarily the best metric to determine one's socioeconomic status. You know, it's both overrepresentative and underrepresentative. Both people above the poverty line might qualify for free and reduced lunch rate, and people below the poverty line might not necessarily apply to be on the free and reduced lunch rate. So just keep in mind that this is the metric that the state uses to determine the economic welfare of individual schools, but this might not necessarily be the best metric. So I'll start by sharing with you some data showing the extent of this massive underrepresentation. So there are 26 Oregon speech and debate tournaments that occurred last year, right? And they were all posted on a website called forensicstournaments.net. This is where one would enter into the tournaments. And not only can you enter to the tournaments on this website, but you can also look at all of the entries that went to these tournaments in the schools from which these entries had come. So I went on ForensicsTournaments.net and gathered the data for these 26 Oregon tournaments that occurred last year, and I cross-referenced this data with the Oregon Department of Education's list of schools where 60% or more of the students are on the free and reduced lunch rate, and found that although there were 26% of Oregon students that came from these schools, or there was a disproportionately high amount of students on the free and reduced lunch rate, less than 5% of the debate entries, on average in the 2013-14 school year, came from students that had attended these schools. You know, this is proportionally one-fifth of what it should be had we had equal representation of the actual Oregon student populace in Oregon speech and debate. Additionally, in the recent 2014-15 school year, the numbers have only gotten worse. Now it is not 5%, but merely 2% of the debate entries are from students that come from these schools where there's a disproportionately high amount of impoverished students. Now, one might ask, why do we see these stark underrepresentation of low-income students in debate? Well, unfortunately, many schools have lost funding for speech and debate programs. South Eugene High School, the school I attend, as well as many other schools across the state, have lost complete funding from the school district and the school, for that matter, for speech and debate programs. You know, the OSAA requires that schools and school districts appropriate a certain amount of money for athletic extracurricular activities, be it basketball, volleyball, softball, to hire a volleyball coach, to buy softballs, etc. But they don't require any amount of money be appropriated towards academic extracurricular activities. And so the result of this is that many schools don't necessarily have the funding for speech and debate programs. And now there are basically two ways that schools can deal with this. Either A, they can have volunteers. For example, Tracy Habiger, who's sitting right here, actually took a lot of time and energy, as well as my dad, to help establish a debate program at South Eugene High School. They can either take that route, or people can pool money together from private monetary assets and hire a private debate coach. But unfortunately, these are two things that the fact of the matter is that only people who are socioeconomically advantaged really have access to. You know, maybe a single mother that might be working two jobs might not necessarily have the time to establish a debate program or might not have the monetary resources to hire a private debate coach. And the result of this is we see this stark underrepresentation in this great activity of debate where we don't see the same level of low-income students participating that's not representative of the actual Oregon student populace. Now, one might ask, why should we care if we don't see this accurate representation? What are the implications of this? Well, first, there was a 2011 study done in the Journal of Adolescence that looked at the Chicago Urban Debate League and found that students that participated in this debate league were 3 times more likely to graduate from high school than their peers. 3 times more likely. Additionally, there was a 2012 study done in the Journal of Psychological Science that also looked at the Chicago Urban Debate League and found this debate league had profound effects on the students' lives. Not only were they better able to think critically, but their ability to take notes had skyrocketed as they learned in flowing in debate. Their ability to give oral presentations had greatly improved because they gave presentations in debate. All of these skills that were so integral to their success as a student, they had acquired from participating in this debate league. Now, additionally, one might ask, what are some things that can be done to mitigate this problem? What can be done to try to increase the accurate representation of low-income students in Oregon speech and debate? Well, ideally, each school would have a full-time teacher that was a teacher at that school helping out and establishing a debate program at these schools. Additionally, there's the alternative that the OSAA might mandate that a certain amount of money be appropriated towards schools to establish academic extracurricular activities rather than just athletic extracurricular activities. And also, it would be a good start if schools were to even just receive a $3,000 stipend to hire an academic extracurricular debate coach. Even just a $3,000 stipend might solve the problem and give all of these students the chance to participate in this great and educational activity, rather than just that are socioeconomically advantaged and more affluent. And with that, I would like to introduce the next speaker, Trone Jacobson, who's actually the director of forensics here at the University of Oregon debate program, and here's Trond.
So, good afternoon. As Henry said, my name is Trond Jacobson. I'm the Director of Forensics and University Forum at the University of Oregon, and I'm standing in today for my colleague, the Associate Director Steve Clemens, who unfortunately had to enter the hospital last night with some blood clots. I can't share with you some of the stories that Steve was going to share with you as a black man from Richmond and the role that debate has played in his life and his opportunities to go to college, to graduate from college, to pursue graduate education, and then also his catalytic role in something called the Bay Area Urban Debate League, which is much like the Chicago Debate League that Henry was just describing. So I'll do what I can do, which is to tell you what I know about the positive impact of debate on me and people around the country. And maybe on another occasion you'll have a chance to meet up with Steve and learn from him his incredible story. I will give you some evidence and some arguments why I think that the City of Eugene and the Eugene School Board and the Bethel-Danable School Board and the Springfield School Board should find it in their budgets to provide greater support for speech and debate here in high schools in the Eugene-Springfield area. But quite honestly, the best evidence I think we could possibly see is the presentations from these three fine young individuals who I think made a very compelling case on their own, and through their presence, their passion, and their articulate presentation, I think they provide themselves the kind of evidence of what it is that participation in speech and debate can do for young people. They're all exceptional. So as was mentioned, I am myself a product of local schools. I competed at South Eugene High School, and back in the late 80s, or mid to late 80s, when I was a competitor at South Eugene High School, we had vibrant, healthy high school speech and debate programs with paid staff members, teachers at those schools at Churchill, at North, at Sheldon, at South Eugene. We had them at Willamette, where we still do. I hope that we someday will have them in Springfield, at Thurston and Springfield. The point is, when I went through my high school experience in speech and debate, before I went on to the U of O, we had a very well-resourced and vibrant program, as they've alluded to. And we had very committed professionals, teachers, who trained in generations of people in speech and debate who went on to do great things for their communities and for our state. And I'd like to one day see us return to that. But I think, as Henry alluded to, there are a couple of smaller steps we can take in the interim that I'll close to. So in the remainder of my time, I want to do two things. I want to try and persuade you why debate is important. They have kind of focused on the fact that debate has been falling down a little bit in this region. I want to focus on what debate confers and that might be lost if this trend isn't reversed. And then the second thing is I want to make a specific appeal to what I think the Eugene School Board, the Springfield School District, and Bethel-Danable ought to do to arrest this problem. The first of several reasons why we ought to do debate is, and maybe this isn't the politically popular way to phrase it, it makes people smarter. It makes people smarter. Not about everything, and not that they should automatically then rule the world, but it gives incredible opportunities to learn about that world, their role in that world, and how to change that world for participants. One in particular is a cluster of abilities that's called critical thinking, and that is kind of an amorphous term, but in the educational psychology literature, it comes to focus on a number of core attributes that debate in particular confers to students. The ability to define a problem, to distinguish what is needed but unavailable information and how to go get information in order to continue analyzing and address that problem. The capacity to recognize and expose and examine assumptions. The ability to select alternative courses of action or imagine different states of affairs and how we might move from here to there. The ability to reach sound conclusions, the ability to synthesize disparate bits of information from many different related fields that might not otherwise be apparent to an individual. That's critical thinking. Critical thinking is increasingly important in society for maybe two main reasons. One is that the digital information revolution is making information ubiquitous, but what it is not doing is conferring the skills to intelligently analyze, utilize, and synthesize that information. In a world awash with information, the capacity to effectively allocate your attention and extract meaning from that is a crucial life skill. That's a critical thinking skill. That's a skill that educational research shows debate confers on its participants more than essentially any other activity they might undertake. Secondly, we know from research of leadership that the capacity to engage in critical thinking along the variety of parameters that I just described is especially important the further up an organization you move to the leadership structure. So our nonprofit organizations, our community organizations trying to affect positive change in our community, their leaders will be more effective if they maybe as younger individuals in high school and college were able to participate in debate. This is not me alone asserting these relationships between participation in debate and critical thinking. There are dozens of studies going back to the 1940s that describe in pre- and post-test terms what the impact of participation is debate in terms of people's measurable critical thinking skills on something called the Watson-Glaser test. Debate as a technique is also being integrated across the curriculum. It's called a debate across the curriculum. They're using debate as a pedagogical technique in nursing schools, in medical schools, in law schools, in engineering schools, not because the content that we debate is so powerful, although it can be, but because the mode of learning that is represented by a dialogic interaction of opposing points of views is so powerful for building a teamwork and a deep understanding of the problem. So debate is a powerful educational tool that is being used in many fields that you might not think are related directly to speech and debate. And then finally, I've emphasized critical thinking because we've all heard about how oral and written communication are so central to success in the world today, and one study after another of business leaders and those making hiring decisions say that the capacity to be an effective oral advocate as well as an effective written advocate is crucial to their success. The final main point I want to make about what debate can do is to reiterate this essential point about how it is so life-changing for underserved communities. Henry made this point. I was going to cite the same study, but I just want to underscore what that study found. That study found that at-risk and moderate-risk students, controlling for all other factors, location in the city, income, educational background, the strength of the teachers in their schools, etc., they were all at risk. Those that participated in debate were 300% more likely to graduate and overwhelmingly possessed the kind of skills they needed to succeed, to go to college, get into college, and succeed in college. Their peers, otherwise similarly situated, were not so successful. What should the Eugene School Board do? I believe that relatively modest events, I would push for $6,000 in each of the 7 area high schools, could make an enormous difference. Yes, I would love to see large programs like I enjoyed at South Eugene in the 80s that were staffed by highly trained, competent teachers. That day's maybe a little bit off, so what can be done? There is a catalytic event that a relatively modest amount of money can create for our students in this community, and that is to ensure that there's at least enough opportunity at each high school that we can reach critical mass to have local tournaments, which changes the economics of this proposition completely. Instead of a few people of privilege traveling to Portland or Seattle for tournaments, everyone, regardless of their background, can find an opportunity to participate in a local school. It changes the economics so that the population of people who can participate and maybe go from there and build from there goes up dramatically. So even a small enough investment, $6,000, might be sufficient to have 8 or 5, 6, 7 tournaments here locally that everyone can participate in at the lowest possible cost. Finally, I want to leave you with a little anecdote that underscores the importance here. A colleague of mine at Yale who ran the Ivy Debate League analyzed a Wall Street Journal study of admissions into elite Ivy League schools. It looked at 10 years of data and had unparalleled access to the individuals making admission decisions as well as the applications. And it then looked at who thrived the most in these Ivy League university environments. And what they found was, more than the many other things that people do that are very valuable in high school, from athletics to chess club to math club, that all of those were valuable, but the one that was far more valuable and a much stronger predictor of success at these elite colleges was participation in high school debate. Now that I sit on the Honors College Admissions Committee, where I review dozens and dozens and dozens of applications to the University of Oregon Honors College, I see the same thing. These students are like the many others who participate, who are able to form good arguments, analyze arguments, present themselves credibly and well, and that shines through in the applications of the students that I'm reading as we're making admission decisions for the Honors College. So our community will be made stronger if our school boards are able to produce just enough money for this catalytic event of strong, local, vibrant debate in the cities of Eugene, Springfield, and the surrounding areas. Thank you.
I'm Betsy Boyd, and I'll ask the first question. Before I do that, I want to take a moment to acknowledge those City Club members in the audience who have really laid the foundation, contributed to the foundation of the debate legacy that we see represented so well today. Nancy Oftrose was a debate coach at Churchill High School and South Eugene back in the day, and she was at Churchill while I debated. And we've got many parents, not only from the current era, but from my era, who supported their students in getting to debate tournaments. So I think we all know that to have successful students takes a lot of support, and it's terrific to see that represented here today. So I've got a question about what the current debate landscape looks like. When the 4J school district made the decision to cut a set of programs in the athletics and activities budget, they included debate as well as some cuts to some sports programs. And one of the arguments that was made had to do with debate being accessible to both boys and girls, and a better opportunity for a lot of girls to participate in a leadership skill, whereas some sports are not, you know, are harder for folks to participate in. So I'm curious about gender and whether debate is an opportunity for both boys and girls to participate in leadership in a way that you think is a compelling argument to why the district ought to make this investment. And you can decide. It doesn't have to be the only girl on the panel to how to answer that question.
I'll start if any of my fellow panelists want to add in. I'm Matt, for anyone who didn't hear my name. But from my years in debate in high school, I've definitely seen equal leadership among the genders. My debate partner, freshman and sophomore year.
Can you pull the mic closer, please?
Oh, yeah. Is this better? Okay. My debate partner, freshman and sophomore year, who was a woman, was she very much developed her leadership skills in debate. She was very much an inspiration to me. The captain my freshman year was also a woman. And going to debate tournaments, my rounds are always very equally distributed among gender. Every person there, regardless of their gender, always talks about their extreme success in academics and otherwise. And I definitely feel that speech and debate is an environment where you can truly hone your leadership and critical thinking skills among others, regardless of your gender.
I would even just like to augment that by saying that I'm a policy debater, and so there's a lot of great arguments that come out in policy debate, and one really cool argument that's come out is a feminist critique, which is actually even some of my debate partners, her daughter, in fact, they ran just feminist arguments, and so in fact, debate not only provides a way for people of both genders, or of all genders, to hone their critical thinking skills and their leadership skills, but also provides a way to interrogate the current, you know, ways or patriarchal ideals and things of that nature. And so not only does it provide a way for them to hone their ability to think critically and do things of that nature, but also a way to think about kind of social issues from even a feminist standpoint or different standpoints in that sense. So
I do want to take on this topic a little bit directly and in a somewhat personal way. As you heard from me, I grew up in this town, and my mom, it was a single mom raising me as an only child. And she was certainly a very active feminist all through the 70s as I was growing up. And that has been a fundamental influence on me as a person and as a scholar and as a debate coach. One of the things that I think makes debate potentially so transformative for girls and for women is related, in my own admittedly non-scientific assessment, to some of the reasons that they found it was so transformative for underserved racial groupings in inner cities in America. And that is the transition to a world in which your voice counts, where what you think matters, where your intelligence is celebrated, where your voice and advocacy and passion and the arguments that are near and dear to you are given consideration and evaluation and respect. And that is like a light switch for some people who have not been given the opportunities they deserve. Once they realize my voice counts, my intelligence counts, I should develop the abilities to make sure that the things that interest me and that are important to me become a part of the social and political agenda. That is what debate can help to do, and I've seen that happen for girls and for women. Last year, our top debater, Liz Featherston, amazing woman, going on to teach perhaps debate here in high school in Portland, incredible woman, incredibly powerful, a woman who was able to be an inspiration to everyone on our team, men and women and others as well, I suppose. So I think it's very valuable for that.
Thank you all so much. It's really great to have you here. Today's program asks the question, is this the end of debate programs in our public schools? Our speakers are students Matt Busey, Liliana Hernandez, and Henry Leininger with Trone Jacobson from the University of Oregon. We'll break now for a few minutes and then return with member questions. Thanks so much.
You're tuned to KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1, KLFO Florence, KLBR Bend, KMPQ Roseburg. We're on the web at klcc.org, on Facebook and Twitter, and we have an app for your smartphone or tablet. This is KLCC, NPR for Oregonians.
Welcome back to the March 6th City Club program, the end of debates in our public schools. Our speakers today are students Matt Busey, Liliana Hernandez, and Henry Leininger with Trone Jacobson from the University of Oregon. City Club members, please identify yourselves and keep your questions to about 30 seconds each so we can hear more from our wonderful debaters.
Nancy Oft-Rose, City Club member, and I have a question for all four of you, and it's a very serious question. I would like to know if you believe that speech, including critical listening skills and critical thinking skills, should be a class long before debate.
I think both speech and debate are definitely valuable skills. I can see the argument as to why a speech class should come before a debate class. Just going off my personal experience, it was the speaking events in speech and debate that really helped me unlock my confidence, but they didn't do that just alone. I also, debate events also helped me build my confidence greatly. So I really think the most effective class to build the skills that speech and debate builds would incorporate both rather than just one.
I think that these skills, if that were to be just one class, it wouldn't be as helpful in the participants' lives, because in debate it offers more skills than just that, and it's fun.
I definitely agree with Liliana that debate offers a certain set of skills that I think just speech might not offer. I think Trond was really alluding to this, where it offers a unique ability to contrast two opposing viewpoints, and I think that's what's so helpful for one's critical thinking skills. And so I think that it's very important that one learns also how to speak effectively, as well as debate effectively. And I think that those two things are not necessarily mutually exclusive, and that one can do both in the same class. And so I think, to a degree, debate also kind of subsumes speech as part of it, because not only are you learning to think critically, but you're also learning how to speak for an allotted amount of time at the same time. So I think having a debate class effectively handles both of those concerns.
I agree with the three of them. I think that the solution to this quandary is to have yet more money available so that we can support both speech and debate. They're both outstanding. The long record of empirical support for educational outcomes, I will just note, is associated with debate more than it is associated with speech. I believe that it's similarly beneficial, but we know from studies that debate has this effect, especially for underprivileged populations.
Jerry Smith, City Club member. Each panelist was very convincing that schools need debate. What you need to work on in building debate skills around fair taxes. Schools have to have revenue, and we've gone through 30 years of what's called trickle-down trickle-down taxes. You know, if you let the big corporations have free taxes, then that will trickle down to the middle class. And that has absolutely failed, completely failed. And it, what it's created is a tsunami of success for the rich. Anyone that looks at the graphs now, what's happened in the last 30 years, you see all the income has gone to the 1%, and the middle class hasn't even kept the salaries that they needed. So we need you in the community, in clubs, in neighborhood associations, at the city council, maybe with the Children's Climate Trust, which is a real good debate that's going on throughout the country, getting out there and getting the money into the school system that's needed. I hope you'll comment about that.
If I could just start, I have two things I'd like to say to that. First, I think there are many ways in which we could access revenue for debate programs. I think not only is there the pathway of, you know, taxes, which is obviously a good idea, but additionally, we could divert revenue from other funds or other programs, or maybe just spend money more effectively and more economically. And also, I think, just is another important point, the debate provides an opportunity to discuss things just as what you're discussing on whether or not this trickle-down economics is even a good theory. And so I think, in a way, debate even provides the unique opportunity for students to interrogate economic systems such as these that you're talking about, and gives us the opportunity to then fight back in the community against what you might say is a bad idea and see whether or not this is actually an effective economic system.
I definitely agree with Henry. If we really want the future, the kids will be adults soon and will be making these big political and economic decisions. If we really want them to make informed decisions as to the way we're generating funds for schools and other economic issues, if we're handling them the correct way, we really need to provide them with the opportunity to do things like speech and debate so that they can develop the skills to debate about the issues that you just brought up in the future effectively.
Okay, I'm John Anik, City Club member and former high school debater. One of the things noted is spoken about is the support wealthy communities give to their school systems, and I think especially of Palo Alto, where I used to live, which is now swimming in school systems, swimming in Google and other major Apple money. So when they talk about apples for the teachers, they're just not talking about food. But what about getting a similar activity here? And I've been informed we have a Eugene Education Foundation. Is this a logical group to ask for funding for debate activities?
I guess I'll tackle that question at least at the outset. My answer would be any source of money that can be tapped where people could be persuaded to give any amount of money to support speech and debate in high schools is worth approaching, and I think the foundation is one. I agree with the points that have been made here earlier about how wealth concentration and inequality are important political and social issues to discuss, and I agree with Henry's assessment that that's something that can be done in debate. The more specific point to our agenda today that I'd like to raise, though, is whatever we feel about that, we need not wait until we have solved the whole problem of inequality to conclude that small, modest investments in speech and debate locally will be helpful for our students, whether they move on to address that issue or other ones in their lives. So let's remember that. All that we need right now is for the community to be able to have a little bit more support, including through the school boards for the high school programs.
Okay, hi, my name is Edward. I'm a City Club member, and first of all, I want to thank you guys as a former high school college debater and someone who's had the pleasure to do debate instruction. You guys made the perfect and compelling case for the value that debate brings, and it's not just here in Oregon, it's across the country and throughout the world, and students across the world are learning debate in middle school as part of their education, so we're really lagging. So my question to you is, 4J is not likely to get a big chunk of money in the near future where they can start investing in debate the way it ought to. Meanwhile, I think you have an audience full of people with spare money and time who are willing to spend it to help out. What can we do to help?
So I'd just like to highlight a recent event. The Springfield Rotary Club actually gave a really awesome donation to the Hamlin Middle School debate team. That was really awesome. I know Liliana went and presented there, similar to what we're doing now, and just any donations that groups can make, just an example is that of the Springfield Rotary Club, are really helpful and allow us to go to more tournaments. I know that the funds that came from the Springfield Rotary Club, were used to go to a tournament in Portland, to go to a tournament in California, and it really allows us to go to more and more tournaments, and even establish tournaments locally. We're now looking to go to another tournament in Portland, that's come from establishing more debate programs, because now these debate programs, when they exist in higher quantities, there can be more local tournaments that allow everyone to go with less and less funding. So in a way, just initial funding is critical to reducing the necessity for funding in the future, because then we have these local tournaments where it's less and less expensive to go to. So I think that any amount of funding is very, very helpful.
As a practical matter, there are probably individuals at each of the programs who are kind of parents associated with each of these kind of nascent efforts at the high schools, and maybe Professor Leininger knows those names of people that could, where your actual checks could be delivered.
Stephanie Harger, City Club member. This is kind of a similar question, but I was just wondering specifically as far as outside funding goes, if anyone has reached out to some outside funding sources such as Toastmasters International, as far as maybe some grants or getting them involved, or Junior Achievement, or even there was a suggestion at the table about pooling resources between high schools. So has any of that been approached?
Well, I know that back when my debate team was more than me, which was freshman and sophomore year, we were going to try that approach and try and reach out to other people, but it's very hard to make a compelling case for such donations when you're asking for donations to a debate team of one, and that's why we really needed the educational district to kind of be the driving force that provides us the foundation to get these programs going, then I think the approach of reaching out to other people will be more successful.
James Baldock, City Club member since 2012. When I did debate in high school, we had a class, and you could take a period off and get credits for it so you could prepare for your tournament and whatnot. I'm wondering, what is the present state of your guys' programs? Is it only extracurricular? Like, how do your programs work at your various schools?
Back when my debate team was more than just me, we were really restricted to having just one meeting for about an hour after school whenever our volunteer coaches could make it. So we really didn't have as significant of prep time as other schools had. Debate classes were never offered at the time when I was in high school, and then when it came time for my coach to study abroad and it was left to me, I was left trying to make those 1 hour a week meetings, and really it's not enough to be able to compete at the same caliber as people who have financial resources to pursue debate. 1 hour a week was definitely not enough. It required a lot of individual input on everyone on my team's part to be able to be successful in tournaments. And so while a debate class would have been great to have, it really wasn't present in my high school during the time that I've been doing debate.
I'm not in high school yet, but for our middle school club, we do it for an extracurricular activity. It's in a program that was almost not even there because it wasn't really a program that was with Hamlin. It was more Tom and all of his I forgot the word, but I've been to four tournaments. I've been to California Grants Pass, two tournaments at the University of Oregon, and those have really built so but I think like they all said that just a certain amount of money, just a little bit amount of money actually, will kind of snowball and more people will want to contribute to funding debate club, and that's all we need, just kind of a little push. And like the question about high school and the debate and how that works. Well, I think that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to incorporate debate into actual high school.
The one thing I would add to that really quickly would be to say that I think there's a role for the school boards and districts themselves to put some modest resources into revitalizing these activities. That doesn't prevent raising money, and I think maybe one of the strategies that those who are invested in this course should look into is to develop a single local fund that various entities like the JCs or like Rotary or like Toastmasters could direct their resources. But I don't think we should conclude that even as we pursue that there isn't an appropriate catalytic role for the school boards to initiate this process, to build a little bit of critical mass so that there's something that these other entities can be attracted to support.
Again, thank you for the panelists. One quick question, then I have my real question. Do you still use 3x5 cards? No.
It's entirely paperless.
Okay. No. My real question is, what degree of support do you feel that the administration, principals and school board and so on, are interested in trying to see such of programs develop? And do you feel that this kind of support is essential before even fundraising and everything else can happen? If the principals and perhaps the school board feel it is important, what do you think about the leadership to get debate?
I think that an administrative leadership role in trying to get debate at schools is really important in addition to funding. I know that was a really major obstacle that my debate program faced, is that our administration couldn't, we didn't receive as much support from them as would have been ideal. So I think in addition to funding, it is really important for the staff of the school itself to take a leadership role in trying to get these programs going.
I'm Joel Curran. I'm a City Club member since 2012. And as a former debater, I'm glad I'm not coming up against any of you guys, because psychologically I would be very afraid right now. But if you would you give the people in this room and the people in the radio audience an idea of some of the topics you've debated over the past couple of years?
We debated about, I know in my club, in my team, we've debated about whether or not UN peacekeepers should be able to use offensive force. And economic globalization benefits poverty reduction. War on terror does more good than harm. And the Common Core standards, that was crazy.
So in high school debate, there are basically four types of debate. So one of them is congressional debate, where students participate in kind of a mock Congress, where they can learn a lot about the political system of the United States and the federal government. One is policy debate, where there's basically a year-long resolution, five types of debate, where there's a year-long resolution. This year it's about oceanic development and exploration, and you debate different facets of that resolution. There's a debate style called Lincoln-Douglas, where this month you're talking about the living wage and whether or not a just government should require that employers pay a living wage. And there's also parliamentary debate, which is the type where students go into the round not knowing what they're going to debate about, and then 20 minutes before, they get the topic and they get the side that they have to do, and they have to come up with in 20 minutes with what they're going to say in the round. And then the final type is what we call public forum debate, where you get the topic and it changes every month, and that topic varies. I believe that's the one Liliana was talking about, the UN peacekeepers using offensive forces and things of that nature. But they're all very pertinent to current events, and they're all really educational topics.
To add on to Henry's comment, it's very hard to encapsulate the things that we debate about in debate just because the range of topics covered is so extensive. I know that my other panelists can probably relate that it's very hard to answer the question when your relatives learn that you're in speech and debate and they ask, oh, so what do you debate about? Because going off of my experience in debate, I've been exposed to so many different topics, whether it be economic, political, or even scientific. And a lot of these topics I wouldn't have had the opportunity to learn about in just a high school setting. So the sheer variety of topics that you're able to cover and debate really serves as an important educational tool, because you learn about a wide variety of pressing global issues that often you wouldn't get the chance to learn about in the classroom.
Thank you so much. I've got one last question that came from the audience. What can people here today do to get your message out to the community? And I think we've heard a number of different ideas, and I would like to say that the City Club of Eugene is very interested in working with you guys in whatever way makes sense. We have a platform here that meets, you know, 50 times a year, and civic education is a huge topic for us, so we're looking forward to building some alliances. So thank you, Matt Busey, Liliana Hernandez, Henry Leininger, and Thane Trone Jacobson, for bringing clarity and vision to this inspiring City Club program, the end of debate programs in our public schools. Thanks again to our sponsors, Pacific University, Friends and Neighbors Realty, and PacInfo. We meet again on March 13th at the Downtown Athletic Club for Wi-Fi, cell towers, and smart meters. Oh my, does man-made radiation impact human health? With guest speakers Dr. Paul Dart and Davidson Soper. Lunches for this program can be ordered on City Club's website or by contacting the office. Thanks so much, everyone, for being here.